It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Band Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We have a lot to get into. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, we are going to be joined by voice of the Kansas City Royals, Ryan LaFever. I've told you guys this plenty of times. I will tell you again. I believe it. At some point, Ryan LaFever will be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. If you ever want to hear a game called at the absolute highest level, go back and listen to the eighth inning against the Houston Astros in the ALDS. I'm telling you, Ryan LaFever was magnificent. Really happy to have him join us today. This is first appearance of the year. We try not to bother Ryan LaFever too much, but for a very important Royals game, a perfect person to have on the show today. We will begin with the Royals. We are going to play the last edition for the season of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium. We'll do that at some point over the course of the next 3.5 hours. We are going to talk a lot of Royals baseball. The Chiefs are back at practice. I want you guys to hear what Andy Reid had to say about Kareem Hunt today. Also, what Patrick Mahomes had to say about Kareem Hunt as well. So there's a lot going on at sports. We appreciate you guys being here with us. We'll get to the Royals coming up after Rob gives you a chance to win a pizza.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6 to 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether it's a slice or two, or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. I need you to tell one that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you also are excited for tonight's Royals games against the Detroit Tigers, the best place to do that is with us right here on The Drive. All right, Rob, let's dive deep into this game. I need your help here because the Royals, they're in a pickle. This is that moment in a basketball game where everybody stands up because you understand how important this next possession is. This is the big third down in a football game in which you're standing up and you're banging on the seats to try to get everybody fired up because you know that this individual moment in the game, this upcoming sequence, can decide whether you win or lose the game. That's where it feels we are with the Royals. Now, I am not as panicked as Rob is discussing, hey, what's the number one topic? And he said, I think the Royals are entering the danger zone. And he wasn't talking about Top Gun in 1986. I don't think they're in the danger zone. But you know we try to give you guys the numbers. You know we try to give you the math. So the Royals are currently 3 games up on the Detroit Tigers with 10 to go. If they win today, they go up 4 with 9 to go. Now, I don't have to tell you guys this. It's going to be pretty difficult to overcome a 4-game deficit with 9 games to go. That means everything has to go absolutely right for you if you're the Detroit Tigers, and everything simultaneously also has to go wrong with the Kansas City Royals. I guess it's possible. Probably not. So that is behind door number one. We're playing Let's Make a Deal. Behind door number one, the Royals win today. They are up 4 with 9 games to go. You can rest easy. You can start to already start to ask for your PTO because we know what days the Royals will play. The Royals are going to the postseason. Now, behind door number two, they can obviously still go to the postseason, but they will be 2 games up with 9 games to go, and the Tigers play the White Sox for the final 3 games of the season. Now, I'm not here to tell you that the White Sox have improved, but the White Sox are playing a little bit better than how they've been all season. They've reached the, you know, the Royals point. You've been cheering for the Royals long enough. You know when the Royals get kind of hot in September and start playing their best baseball when they're completely out of it. You have completely begun to focus on the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, that's when the Royals love to get hot in a season that doesn't mean anything. They start to let the young guys play, and they have a decent September. That is what the White Sox are currently doing right now. So I'm not saying that the Tigers go in there and win all 3 of them. Maybe the White Sox win one, but the White Sox are playing a little bit better. I wouldn't want to be in a position where we are dependent on the White Sox to help you out. That's not the position that you want to be in. So I told you guys, I'm not here to be Chicken Little. I believe the Royals are going to make the postseason, but this is a really, really big spot. This is the difference in being up 2 games at the end of tonight and being up 4 games at the end of the night. I don't think that there is a more important baseball game they will play in this regular season than the one that they have today. You can almost effectively end this race. You know what today is? Today is a playoff game. You know the kind of pitchers you're going to be going up against in the playoffs? The good ones. There are no White Sox. There are no Marlins. Those teams don't make the postseason. You're going to be going up against some of the better teams and better pitchers and better lineups in Major League Baseball. It's kind of like today. You got that team at home. You've had a disappointing last couple of days. You need to salvage one of these games. Or this weekend when you're watching Red Zone, when you're watching college football, you're going to have to keep an eye on the Kansas City Royals. The race is not over. What's that saying from Kobe Bryant? Believe they were playing the Celtics and they were up 2-0. And he said, job not finished. Well, hey, Kobe, you got to be happy. Job not finished. 99% in the postseason or 95% is not 100% in the postseason. So you still got to finish this race. You still got to win a couple more games, and there is no more important game to win right now than this one. The other games that you play are National League teams. You got San Francisco, Washington, and Atlanta. The Tigers have the Orioles, who are also in the wild card picture, and they got the White Sox down the stretch. So last time here, and we'll move on from this. This is the big third down when you get up and start banging on the seat. This is the basketball possession where everybody is standing up because your team needs to go get a bucket. You got to figure out a way to win. I don't care who's on the mound. I don't care where the game is. The win probability that people love so much, it shifts drastically one way or the other with a win or a loss depending on the result of this game. We will get back to the Royals coming up in a bit. Ryan LaFever is going to join us as he is on his way to Kauffman Stadium. There's no better person to talk to the Royals about than Ryan LaFever. He will be on the show coming up in just a bit. But before we head to the phone lines, I want to play for you guys what Andy Reid had to say about Kareem Hunt and also the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Let's start with the coach. Here's what he said the timeline for Kareem Hunt to play is.
We'll get him in here and get some work. Kind of get him back in the swing of playing, and then we'll just see. You know, as the game gets closer, we'll see how things go there, and so on. But we try to get him in a position where he's ready to play, either this week, next week, or the following week. We'll just see how long it takes.
Rob, do you think that Kareem Hunt is going to play? Because you know what the comparison is for me. This is the comparison. You remember a couple of years ago whenever Cam Newton came back to the Carolina Panthers? And I actually believe it was in Atlanta. Maybe I'm misremembering the scenario. But Cam Newton scored a rushing touchdown. And remember, he looked into the camera and kept yelling, I'm back, I'm back. That's kind of what Sunday Night Football feels like to me. Now, they did elevate Keontae Ingram from the practice squad, so they've given themselves the possibility of Kareem Hunt needs a couple of weeks. He's going to stay on the practice squad, and we're going to wait a little bit on Kareem Hunt, and Keontae Ingram's going to play. They've given themselves that capability if that's what they want to do. And things just wrap up so neatly in the National Football League. The Chiefs don't play at home for a couple of weeks. This just feels like they just signed Kareem Hunt off the waiver wire. He was a free agent. He comes back to Kansas City. On Sunday Night Football, they tell you a little bit about his backstory. They tell you how good things have been going in Cleveland. And then he scores a touchdown. If you believe that the NFL is scripted, if you believe that there is somebody in the back like Shonda Rhimes or there is some J.K. Rowling in the back writing this thing up, Kareem Hunt playing and scoring a touchdown this week is absolutely in the script. I'm telling you this, if he plays, I'm betting on him to score. I'm betting on him to be a contributor because the NFL, it just sometimes you just know, and it's staring us right in the face. Let me play what Patrick Mahomes had to say about Kareem Hunt. He and Kareem have stayed in contact with one another.
I mean, I think anyone, everybody has friends that make mistakes, and obviously some are bigger than others. But at the same time, you want to make the person better. You want to see them taking the right steps to become a better person for themselves, their family, and the rest of society. And so I think you've seen that with Kareem. And so I've stayed in touch with him just to see how he's doing, how his family's doing, everything like that. And he's been able to carve out a great career in the NFL. But, I mean, you've seen he's been able to keep his nose clean and be a better person, and that's what you want in order to make everybody better people.
I'm not surprised by this, but you know what we saw today with the Kansas City Chiefs? We saw a very united front. Andy is on board with this. Patrick is on board with this. Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, everybody that would need to be on the same page about this appears to be on the same page. The fact that Patrick and Kareem have maintained a relationship is big. I don't know if there is any reason to worry about Kareem Hunt joining the Kansas City Chiefs from the off the field. Now, on the field, is he going to be able to help? What's his role going to be? We'll figure that out over the course of the next couple of weeks. But I thought the Chiefs showed a very united front today in how they communicated Kareem Hunt coming back to this organization. We'll get back to the Royals coming up on the other side. The Royals have their most important game of the season. It feels like a playoff game today at home against the Tigers. Ryan LaFever will be on the show coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are very happy to be joined by our next guest. We try not to bother him, but for the most important Royals game of the season, there was only one person I wanted to talk to today. He is the voice of the Royals, in my opinion. Ryan LaFever joins us on the show today. Ryan, we are so happy to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks, Carrington. Good to hear your voice, buddy.
Absolutely. Ryan, we have to ask you this. We ask every baseball person this. Tomorrow, if you and I go to the game and I buy you a hot dog, you can only put two things on your hot dog. What are you putting on there?
Well, there is no game tomorrow. Does that change the question? Is it a trick question?
No, it is.
Okay. I'm a mustard and onions guy.
That's not bad. That's actually what I would pick.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
You and I can go find a park tomorrow and pretend there's a game and have our mustard and onion hot dogs.
Are you a peanuts or a sunflower seeds guy?
As a spectator, peanuts. But in college, I like to have a mouthful of sunflower seeds.
Right now, we're joined by one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals, Ryan LaFever, joining us on the show today. Ryan, I understand that baseball is about the next day and the grind, and it's a marathon and not a sprint. I don't know if you can have too much more of an important baseball game than what the Royals have today. This is the difference in being up four or up two with nine to go. Being up four with nine to go is going to be really, really difficult for the Tigers to make the postseason. Being up two with nine to go in a series against the White Sox, it makes things kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and you know what? These guys all season long have been so consistent, and every time there's a bump in the road, and I'll admit, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but there have been moments where I thought, man, is this the one that they're not going to be able to bounce back from? And there was just a seven-game losing streak against first place teams during that brutal stretch of games, and they bounce back from it. So I'm trying to do my best to say, you know, for 9/10 of the season, they found a way to bounce back and get the job done. Why can't they do it now in the final stretch?
And that's a really good point. I'm with you. Like, every kind of challenge that we've put in front of this team, they've overcome it. And I do think at times people are kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it didn't. There's been times where you kind of thought that could happen. You mentioned the injury to Vinny Pasquantino, and they go on that losing streak. They have always got back on the right track. Today, you're going up against one of the best pitchers in the American League. What's your strategy? What are you trying to do when going up against someone as good as Skubal?
Well, the one thing I've noticed in the first two games of the Tigers is it feels like we're in one of those stretches where every guy that comes to the plate with good intentions wants to be the guy and get a big hit. And as a result, you know, there have been some ground ball double plays, there have been some pop-ups, there have been some routine fly balls. And this is a team that has occasional power, not a lot of power, and they're at their best when they're hitting line drives all over the field, putting pressure on the pitchers. And it just feels like in the last two games that some guys have been, as Hud would put it, trying to get big, muscling up, going for the extra base hit, going for the home run, and just trying to be the guy that takes the pressure off of everybody else. I don't think you can do that against Tarek Skubal. This guy looks like he's going to win the Cy Young. The Royals have done pretty well against him this year by doing what I just described. So the first sign I would like to see today, are they back to a line drive approach, or are there going to be guys saying to themselves, and again, I say this, it's not selfish, it's good intentions, but I'm going to be the guy and I'm going to get the big hit right here, right now.
Right now, we're talking to one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals, Ryan LaFever. Ryan, how do you think they've done in trying to kind of cobble together the production that they lost with Vinny Pasquantino? If this happens prior to the trade deadline, maybe the Royals go out and make a move, but when it happened, you kind of have to piece things. I give JJ and his staff a lot of credit for when this happened, they went out and they made a couple of different moves, and Tommy Pham has been a really good addition to this team. Paul DeJong has been a really good addition to this team. There was never going to be an obvious answer in how you replace that production, but for the most part, I think they've done a really good job with the resources that they have.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at every team closely, Carrington, but I don't know how JJ isn't the executive of the year. I mean, every move, just about every move he's made has had an impact. And I don't know how much and maybe I'll ask him this on Sunday if I can remember. I don't know how much of JJ going out and getting Grossman and Pham and Gurriel had to do with pure production and how much of it had to do psychologically to just bring in some calming influences, guys who have won in the past, guys who are just going to come in and stick to their routines, not be overwhelmed by the situation, and just have a calming effect on the roster. Now, clearly, he brought them in to help them win games, and I think each guy has had a hand in helping win a game. But in talking to Matt Quatrero and talking to JJ about those guys, the fact that they've won before, the fact that they've been around, the fact that they're not going to be vibrating, as we like to say, in a situation like this, I think had as much to do with bringing them in as it did trying to fill the hole left behind by Vinny's injury.
Ryan, I've asked a couple of different Royals people this. We haven't had a chance to ask you this question. It's related to today, but maybe a little bit more looking ahead to this team making the postseason. Let's say that it is 5-4 in game one of the wild card series and the Royals are up heading into the seventh inning. So they got to hold on for 9 outs. How would you handle the seventh? How would you handle the eighth? How would you handle the ninth inning?
Well, it's nice to know that Lucas Ursic can go 2 innings. And, you know, from there, I think this is probably not the answer that you want, but I think the way that Matt Quatrero has been using the bullpen this year, it's just going to depend on the matchups. And it's interesting how the game has shifted over the past few years. Unless you have a clear-cut, bona fide closer, teams have been, you know, bringing in their closer sometimes in this, or maybe their best reliever in the seventh and the eighth inning, because you know you bring them in to get the most difficult outs. And at the top of the order's coming up, the middle of the order's up. You may not get the save when the game's over, but for all intents and purposes, that was the save. So I think he's just going to stick with the matchups. Although you know it's hard to stay away from someone like John Schreiber, who's been so consistent for the Royals all year, and he's played in some important games down the stretch. And another thing too to remember about the playoffs, and when we went to the playoffs in 14, Carrington, I had never broadcasted a single playoff game in my life, and I really didn't pay close attention to the playoffs. Honestly, when our season was over, 162 games was enough. I would check the scores and I might watch the highlights because I would want to know what happened. But right away in the playoffs, I realized, oh yeah, if your starter doesn't have it, he's coming out like now. And so those 2 years, but with all the days off in between those series, for more times than not, your bullpen is rested. There's rarely a playoff game where your bullpen is really taxed. So I think you find the innings that are most challenging. You put Ursegg in there, and then I think John Schreiber, and I'm still very intrigued by Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch.
Ryan, we all don't have a lot of experience with this. You mentioned the postseason, and it was new to me. It was new to everybody in 2014. Do you find yourself kind of scoreboard watching and keeping up with the standings, or are you just so glued into what the Royals are doing and just they have to take care of their own business?
Oh, no. I'm just a fan with a microphone. Believe me, I'm looking at that scoreboard the entire game. And it's interesting to the varying motivations. You know, they're on one hand, it's, hey, how's the team doing ahead of us so we can gain some ground? Hey, how's the team behind us? You know, we're not supposed to worry about the team behind us. We're supposed to be focusing on the team in front of us, you know, to gain ground in the wild card and gain ground in the division. But I've been paying a lot of attention to Minnesota. They're the team behind us. And so I try not to say it too much on the air, but when we get toward the end of the game, and depending on what the situation is, I might throw in there what Baltimore has done, what Cleveland's done, what Minnesota's done. And, you know, when Minnesota's game ended in Cleveland last night, they were watching our game, and I was getting text messages after our game was over because we were the team in front of Minnesota, and the team we were playing was behind Minnesota. So I'm caught up in all the scoreboard watching like everybody else.
Ryan, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here because you got to take care of your own business and who knows how things will shake out. I feel really confident in the Royals' chances against Baltimore? Like, if you could just, like, right now, I could press a button and I could guarantee who the Royals play in the postseason. I think the Royals win a three-game series against the Orioles. I think it's going to be really tough against the Yankees or the Astros, just given the talent and how good the Astros have been over the last 7-8 postseasons. But Baltimore kind of fizzled out last year in the postseason. They have not had a great second half to the year. I feel confident about the Royals' chances against Baltimore if that's the series that we get.
Well, Denny has a theory, and I've seen it played out many times. And his theory is if a team takes a huge step forward one year, which Baltimore did last year, they take a huge step forward one year, more times than not, many more times than not, the next year they're going to backslide. It's not going to come as easy as it was. They're not going to play as free and easy because, you know, there's a lot more on the line now. They have a lot more to lose. It's their division to lose now, and all eyes are on them. And so I think Baltimore's probably going through that right now. That first round is so much different from the first round in 14 and 15. In that, you know, when the Royals won game one in Anaheim, we knew we were going to be going to Kansas City at some point. And so when you're the home team and you lose game one, there's a tremendous amount of pressure, because if you lose game two, now you're, you know, really behind the eight ball, as the Angels were, and we ended up sweeping them that three-game series. This one's different because no matter what happens in game one, we stay wherever we are. I mean, if we're not hosting and you say Baltimore, you know, we win game one, yeah, there's some momentum. You only have to win one more. But games two and three are also going to be in Baltimore. So different feel than the early rounds in 14.
Last question here for Ryan LaFever, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals. You and I haven't had a chance to talk since Bobby Witt Jr. has really turned into one of the young superstars in baseball. You got a chance to see basically all of the greats over the last 20 years. Where do you think Witt kind of fits into that conversation? And I'm also curious, like, when you knew, you know, just doing this, we've had a lot of conversations about Patrick Mahomes, and people kind of came to the conclusion at different points of, hey, the Chiefs might have a franchise quarterback. Wait, he's even better than that. He might be one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. When did you realize that Witt had a chance to be a true superstar?
Well, right away in his first series against Cleveland, and he had the game-winning hit. His first big league hit was an RBI double late in the game, and they won. And then I believe in the next game, he was still playing at third because Mondesi was at short. And he made that play at third base, and he was falling down, and he threw the ball to home plate. Salvi made a great pick to get the last out at home plate, and then the Royals ended up walking off that game. I mean, there was two games right off the bat that where he performed when the team really needed him to. And then I think, you know, the walk-off grand slam against Minnesota last year was a moment that we'll all forget. We'll never forget. And I think that was the Bobby Witt Jr. game, as we joke behind the scenes on the TV broadcast, you know, whether we're joking or we're being serious about a big moment. There's the so-and-so game. But what I've noticed about him, and I can't really use one example, but just his ability to adapt and adjust. And for the first year and a half, Carrington, I was as impressed with his numbers then as I am now, because he swung at everything early in the count for the first year and a half. So everything that he accomplished, he did after falling behind 0-1 or 1-2 in almost every at bat. And I remember saying on the air, it just seems like in every at bat, he swings at one pitch he shouldn't swing at. And then somewhere in June of last year, he stopped swinging at pitches. He started taking the ball to right field. And so what that showed me is that he's a player that's supremely gifted. He has a flair for the big moment, but he can adapt and he can adjust inside of a season. And there have been many, many, many young players who have been called up to the big leagues, and they do something really exciting the first year, maybe into the second year, but they are who they are. The league figures them out, and the next thing you know, they just kind of fade away, and 10 years later we say, hey, remember that guy? But Bobby just continues to adjust and adapt and get better in every phase of the game. That's what shows me that the league is never going to be able to get ahead of him.
one thing that Denny Matthews has taught me, and he's taught me a bunch, and I'm sure he's taught you 10 times what he's taught me in our conversations over the year, is that the great ones adjust to the adjusting. And you can just see it with Bobby Witt. You know, there are some guys that are just baseball phenoms that you just see it at a very young age. Bryce Harper was that way. Mike Trout was that way. Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, I think you have to consider Bobby Witt a baseball phenom, just given his age, his talent, and there's still probably another one or two levels that he can go to.
No doubt. No doubt. And behind it all is how badly he wants to win. And most guys, if they're smart, they say that. But I asked him about a month ago when he's starting to achieve all these big numbers and he's just running away with batting average and hits and runs. And I had a moment with him at batting practice. And I said, what number are you most proud of? And he said, games played. He said, being able to play every single day and be consistent. That's what's important to me. And that's what winners say. Other players are fixated on one number and that's all they think about. And if it's the right number, they can help a team win. But really good players, that all they think about is, I just want to play every day and I just want to be dependable. I want my manager to know that if he puts me in the lineup, that he can depend on me to do A, B, and C every game. That's most important to me. And that was his answer.
That was Ryan LaFever joining us on the show today. Ryan LaFever is one of the voices of the Royals. Ryan, you know the immense amount of respect that I have for you. Really happy that we could have you on the show today. We try not to bother you too much, but today's game is way too important to not give you a call.
Well, I don't know if I deserve it, Carrington, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Ryan LaFever, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals, joining us on the show today. We will hand things off later today to our guy, Josh Vernier, as the Royals. This is as important of a regular season baseball game that you can have. The Royals have 10 games remaining in their season. If they win, they are up 4 with 9 games to go. If they lose, they are up 2 with 9 games to go. And the Tigers still have the White Sox on their schedule. So I don't have to tell you guys how important this game is for the Royals and their quest in trying to make the postseason. They really, really need to win. Let's talk a little bit of football, and I have a little bit of a crystal ball theory that I want to run by you guys as well. So we had Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We had Ryan LaFever, and we had Mitch Holthus on the show this week. That's how we get down here on 96.5 The Fan. So we talked to Mitch Holthus about the left tackle situation with the Kansas City Chiefs. It was not good in week 2 against Cincinnati. They needed to be better week 3 against Atlanta. Here's what Mitch Holthus has to say. He thinks that the rookie is going to start.
Yeah, and I wouldn't overreact to it, although because of the Hendrickson factor. But, and it's not something you want to, and it's on Kingsley to handle it this psychologically and mentally. I mean, you don't want to wreck the dude because I mentioned he's got a lot of ceiling. But that'll be something they'll monitor throughout the week. Plus, you may see what they did yesterday where they're both playing because there's some unbalanced line in this offense, much like Cincinnati was doing yesterday. It's not on the realm of possibility that you could have both of those guys in there at once. And then, depending on what happens, you bring Kingsley back and bring him along slowly, or, you know, Wanye tears it up and wins that job back. But I would be careful for the Kingdom to overreact on Kingsley Suamatia because I think he has a very, very bright future.
I'm not here to overreact about the young guy as well. There's going to be a learning curve associated with this. You're being asked to play one of the hardest positions in the National Football League, and it is certainly a trial by fire position. You're going to go up against some of the better pass rushers in the National Football League. They know you're a young guy. They know you're not experienced. They're going to challenge and test you. I believe that Kingsley is going to start on Sunday. But Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star, he put out that Wanye Moore said that both he and Kingsley are both preparing to start on Sunday. I think Kingsley is going to start, Rob. Are you on that same wavelength? Do you think that the young guy, that the rookie is going to get the start, or do you think it's going to be the second-year guy at Oklahoma, Wanye Moore?
I think it has to be Kingsley because – and maybe I'm forgetting someone, and maybe this has happened and I just don't remember. But when was the last time the Chiefs decided through camp and the preseason, hey, we're playing the rookie because we trust him, and then a game into the season they said, yeah, we messed up. Nah, he's done. historically, when the Chiefs have seen something in July and August, they stick to their guns through September, October. They need a larger sample size or more data before they give up. It would be very surprising to me if Kingsley went from day one starter in St. Joe, day one starter in the preseason, day one starter in the regular season where he was okay, and then starter in game two, and after one bad game, they said, we're going to eject on the rookie. That would surprise me, so I think it's going to be Kingsley. And in that same vein, I think if it's Wanye, that does throw up a little bit of an alarm bell to me. Hey, they may have missed on Kingsley or misevaluated him early because 120 minutes of football and he's, you know, back to the bench, that would be surprising based on how Andy Reid treats the offseason program.
I'm with you as well. I think it's a sign of you just got it wrong if you do that. And if you weren't willing to go through the trials and tribulations, the ups and the downs, then you just were never really committed to that person being your left tackle. I mean, Xavier Worthy didn't play great on Sunday. We're not talking about him being replaced. You just understand sort of where you are. Hey, you're a young guy. You're going to have some games like week one. You're also going to have some games like week two. That is just the way it goes in the National Football League. So I don't expect there to be a change, but Wanye says that. I understand why he's preparing. I do think that of all the guys who could potentially get their job took, you remember when Isaiah Pacheco was saying, I had to take a grown man's job. You had to take a grown man's job partly because the other grown man was kind of giving it to you. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was given every opportunity to remain the number one running back on that team, and it just became more and more clear that Isaiah Pacheco was the better back on the team. I could see something very similar happening at left tackle. Now, it's different. It's not like running back where multiple guys are going to come in. But of all the starters that we think could be replaced in the next month, he is number one on that list. He's the most vulnerable guy to get their job took. There's no wide receiver you think that about. There's not a running game. The only person right now who feels like their job is on the line is his. You're not making a whole lot of money. The guy behind you is not making a whole lot of money. This is just the may the best man win. There's no reason for politics or salary cap or contracts to play into this decision. Who gives us the best chance to win every single week? You know it's going to be something that we're going to track. It's also going to happen on national TV. So if he struggles again, Chris Collinsworth is going to notice it, and about 20 million other people are going to notice it as well. Coming up on the other side, I've got a crystal ball theory that I want to float by you guys. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
So last week I gave you guys a conspiracy that I have that I believe that the Cleveland Browns kind of nudge the media in the direction to learn more about Deshaun Watson's off-the-field discretions. We then found out that in the offseason, they changed the language in the contract where they can get out of it if he continues to be Mr. Nasty Man. It only fueled the conspiracy. So I've decided that every week I am going to take back what the C and C dot means, because you guys think that it means chargers and corner and all of these different things, and that's not it. So every week, I'm going to determine what the C stands for. Last week, it was conspiracy. This week, it's crystal ball. Now, for those of you that watch college football, you know that Florida is bad. I mean, Florida is one of the worst Power 5 schools right now. They are embarrassing. And for a school that has the alumni base that they have, the home field advantage that they have, the stadium, the recruiting ground that they have, it's really bad. You know who I think Florida's first call is going to be to? I think it's going to be Eli Drinkwitz. Eli Drinkwitz has done a great job at Missouri over the last 18 months. He has shown time and time again that he is one of the better young recruiters in college football. And this is me coming to you honestly here, fair, objective, and balanced. You cannot win the national championship at Missouri. You can at Florida. You will have more resources to win at Florida than you do at Missouri. Now, maybe Drinkwitz is Gary Pinkle. Gary Pinkle had numerous opportunities to leave Mizzou. He could have been the head coach at Washington at least three or four times, and Gary Pinkle declined the Michigan job to continue to stay at Mizzou. So maybe Drinkwitz is going to be the head coach for 15, 20 years. But if you're going to take a jump, Florida's a really good landing spot if that's where you want to go. Great recruiting grounds, historic program. I wouldn't consider them to be a blue blood, but I would say they're right there on that next tier of programs. If there is a program that you should be worried about as a Missouri fan of where would Eli Drinkwitz go, I think Florida is pretty high up there on the list of a school that is going to throw a very heavy bag at Missouri's head coach and try to lure him to their university.
I think Missouri's coach is the only one that'll be talked about in the coaching carousel here in about 4 or 5 months. I think Chris Klieman at this point is just, he's the coach of K-State. Like, I don't think Chris Klieman is ever leaving Kansas State. So any coaching carousel name you see him attached to, I would mostly ignore. I think Kansas is going to have a relatively down season compared to expectations, and that's going to hurt Lance Leipold's shine. So I don't think schools are going to come calling to him this year the way they did last year. So I understand why Drinkwitz's name is likely going to show up this offseason, but is Florida that much better of a job than Missouri? The way the current, I agree with you. You can win a national title at Florida. You can probably not win a national title at Missouri, but the way it's constructed right now in college football, if you keep hanging college football playoff appearance banners, or maybe you win an SEC, which you can do at Missouri. They've been in two SEC title games.
They've also got blown out in both of those games.
A lot of people never thought they'd make those games, but they did make it. I mean, A&M came in the league and never made one of those
really
games.
But really quickly to point out, though, Missouri also made it when it was divisions. So it was the East and the West. If they are going to eliminate divisions so you don't get to play Vanderbilt, you don't get to play Tennessee, you don't get to play Kentucky and that side, that now you could just play anybody, what is your pathway now to playing for the SEC championship game? Missouri is a very solid job. And Drinkwitz, over the last 18 months, has done a really good job. They're ranked in the top 10 in college football. Missouri can absolutely make the playoff. I'm not sure if this Missouri team can flat out outright win the SEC. I also just don't think you can win the national championship at Missouri. Like, eventually, you just run into a program like Texas, like Ohio State. Like, I understand the NIL has kind of leveled things out a little bit. It has not leveled things out to the point where we think a random school is going to win. And I love Mizzou. If they won the national championship, that would be the most random school that has won the national championship in our lifetime. I don't think you can win it there. I think you could at Florida. So could Florida put the bag together and try to, hey, we will make you one of the 10 highest paid coaches in college football. Come save us. Come fix us. We saw what you did recruiting-wise at Lee Summit North and what you've been able to do in St. Louis. Come do that now in Miami. Come do that in Tallahassee and get those recruits. I'm just, if there is a job that I would be worried about, because they had a wave of coaching hires and Drinkwitz's profile wasn't big enough to do it. His profile is going to be big enough where his name is going to be attached to any marquee job that pops up over the next 12 months.
I also think the marquee jobs he'll be connected to are down south. Like, is the Washington job better than the Missouri job?
Yes.
I agree it is, but I don't think it's light years better. But he was never considered for the Washington job. Florida's also a better job, but I think the recruiting soil and being in the SEC is very important at this point to Drinkwitz. Like, Ohio State, Michigan, and even Penn State are different animals. But if a B-tier school in the Big Ten, so take Washington, Oregon, USC, the powerhouse out of the equation. I'm talking about, you know, the Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin level. Good jobs. Jobs that are probably on the same, like, you know, even footing with Missouri. I don't think Eli Drinkwitz is leaving any of those jobs for that. But let's say Tennessee, Florida, Florida State might open up. I think he would leave. He's more likely to leave for that job because there is a thought that the further south you are, the closer you are to the talent.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about their running back situation this weekend as Carson Steele looks to be their number one running back. I want to play a couple pieces of audio for you guys very quickly. So this is Mel Kiper. This is his scouting report on Bryce Young. This was 2 years ago.
sees the field accurate, distributor of the football. He can move, he can run, but he chooses most of the time not to. So this is a kid that's got all the skills, doesn't have the size, the physical ability of, say, a C.J. Stroud. That's going to be a heck of a battle, David, all the way down to late April of next year to see whether Stroud at Ohio State or Bryce Young, Alabama, becomes the number one quarterback overall.
So that was 2 years ago. This was 2 hours ago, Mel Kiper talking about Bryce Young.
So you knew Bryce Young, not only short but small, diminutive quarterback, needed help, right? Also, continuity. You draft a quarterback. Everybody said he's got this great infrastructure in Carolina around him, right? With the head coach, the coordinator, the quarterback coach, everything's there, the senior assistant, everything's in place. And then you see him beat C.J. Stroud on the field as a rookie, right? You take out the 3 games he threw multiple interceptions, he was 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks, okay? Had some decent games last year, okay? But then you go into this year, you change everything because C.J. Stroud's doing so well in Houston. We got to destroy this thing. We got to blow it up and start over because, you know, C.J. Stroud's doing so great in Houston. These coaches aren't getting it done. So we bring in an offensive coach who was with Baker and others, right? Bring in a new pass game coordinator, new quarterback coach for Bryce Young. Then we don't play him in the preseason. We play him 1 series in the final preseason game against the AOGs. None of those guys are playing for Buffalo, by the way. They went 1 series down the field and they're rah, rah. Great, we got it. We accomplished everything we wanted to. I'll give you a little note. C.J. Stroud played 2 preseason games this year. Okay, he played 4. Derek Carr played in 2 preseason games. Why? Because Clint Kubiak was coming in with a new offense, and Derek Carr is a veteran, played in 2 preseason games. Bryce Young played 1 series of a final preseason game against the nobodies on defense for the Buffalo Bills. Does that make sense to you? When in 2 games in, we're saying he can't play. Yes, his confidence was shattered, right? Yes, he does need to sit behind Andy Dalton for a little bit. But to blame this on Bryce Young is ridiculous. This is the blame here goes to the organization, the owner.
So much about quarterback is situation, situation, situation. They have certainly put their number one overall pick in the worst situation in the National Football League. Let's get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. I am optimistic about Carson Steele. I try to change Rob's mind. Let's get into it. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.